effort they put into to doing that for the Lord's Day. Yes, Children's Church is ready and headed that way. So if you have any children, like to go to Children's Church, feel free to join in and follow the crowd. Diana is headed that way out the center, some this way. And we'll let them get going, make a headway there. Turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5. So we'll let the Children's Church get headed in that direction. So praise the Lord for his goodness to us. And we're off and running for another new year of 2021. I would count your blessings of 2020 and look forward to see what God is going to do in the year of 2021. Our God is still very much alive and on the throne, and you can trust him for all things. And, you know, when you think about the year, I don't know what it is at the beginning, at the end of a year, beginning of a year. I don't know. It's just kind of time to reassess how the year went and kind of look at reassessing or kind of evaluating the upcoming year and see how things are going. And somehow this thing of time comes into play. And, you know, the Bible talks about time. Talks about it in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, that there's a time for everything. Solomon said there's a time for everything under the sun. Talks about a time to be born, a time to die. We know that, and that from what we've just learned here in our own church family. But there's a time for everything in the seasons of life. And so what I want to preach on today is in Ephesians 5, and Paul gives us these verses here talking about redeeming the time. Now, redeem, the word redeem means to pay for, to buy or to pay for, redeeming the time, to buy the time for you and I to make count. And I want to look at this in context of how Paul wrote this and the importance of what time really is. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was young, I used to think about time and I couldn't wait. You know, when you're 5, you can't wait to be 6. And when you're 6, you can't wait to be 7. And then, you know, when you're 10, you can't wait to be 11. And on it goes through those teenage years. I don't know where it stops, but somewhere in transition, you say, time goes so fast, God. Now that I'm 40, I wish I could be 39. And then, you know, you're counting back the other ways or whatever it is. But it seems like, I don't know about you, but it seems like for me, the older we get, the faster time goes. Now, I don't know, when you're younger, I used to wish, man, I wish this would hurry up and come. I wish this would hurry up and happen. And time just doesn't go fast enough, and now you're trying to slow time down. But here, Paul said, redeem the time. Why does he say redeem the time? Look at these three verses. We're going to spend our time here this morning in Ephesians 5. But three key verses for our text verse. In verse 15, it says, see then, Paul's saying to believers, see then that you walk, what? Circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Now that word, but as wise, is important because the next verse is our text verse, redeeming the time, because the days are evil, and wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Boy, there's so much in here. Redeeming the time and realizing that you and I are encouraged, admonished, even commanded in the Bible to walk circumspectly. What does that mean? It means to walk uprightly. It means to make good choices. And you know, when you think about it really today, today's only January the 3rd. So each one of us today in the sanctuary, we've been given a clean slate. You have 24 hours in the day. You have 7 days in the week. And you got the full year ahead of you. And what the admonishment here in the Bible is to make wise choices. Make good choices, make smart choices, and walk circumspectly. Walk God-honoring and walk in the, you never know when time will be no more. And never would I have ever guessed. I mean, we just had a staff Christmas party here before the holidays, and Bunny sat with Nita and I at a table there and had a chance to visit a little bit, and never would I have ever guessed that in just a little bit of short time, that dear lady would not be there. And so time, you never know. You got to make a count. Redeeming the time. Make sure you make wise and good and godly choice. You're going to make thousands and thousands upon thousands of decisions in the year coming up in 2021. And the Bible says to walk circumspectly and to make sure you make good choices. Make smart choices along the way. And make sure that what you do, that it's not unwise, because the days are evil. You and I are entering into 2021 thinking that, you know, if you're thinking it's going to be blissful and there's going to be no wrong, there's going to be no corruptness, no evil. No, that's not what Paul's saying. Paul's saying the days are evil. The days around us are going to be wicked, and therefore all the more important that we walk circumspectly, we walk uprightly, that we evaluate our decisions, we make wise choices along the way. So it's a good time to reevaluate your choices and the decisions that you make. If you need to, set down some goals and write out some aspiration, direction, things. What do you expect? What do you want? What do you desire out of 2021? And because believe me, this year will go quickly and will go fast, and before you know it, we'll be entering into 2022. So putting this all in context, Paul's really spending time here in chapter 5 on the walk of the believer, helping you and I to walk. And it's important that we learn how to walk through this year. We learn how to make these choices. We learn how to take the steps that we need to take. So look at what he says in verse 1. Now there's some key things and phrases down through here that he points out. I want to show them to you. And verse 1, he said, be therefore followers of God as dear children. I would put number 1 in your Bible, this year, 2021, be a follower of God. Make sure that, you know, we sing about the songs, so he's talking about here, as believers, be a follower of God. Don't get sidetracked in following the world. Don't get sidetracked in following the ways of the flesh and other decisions, but follow the Lord. And then he says, as you do so, in verse 2, here's number 2, walk in love. As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. What a great opportunity in 2021 for the world to see, for your neighbors to see, for people in the church to see. This world needs more love and less evil. And we see the contrast is so evident. And so Paul is really admonishing the believers here, walk in love, as Christ has loved us and hath given himself for us. So it should be able to see the importance that when you and I walk and where we go, they should know that you're a Christian. They should know that you love God. They should know that you're a follower of God and you walk and you fellowship with him. Now these next three verses in here are really, you could put this right beside it, verse 3, 4, and 5, and that is putting off sin. Whatever sin in your life, or whatever things you get tempted with, or whatever things are presented to you in the year of 2021, put that off. And Paul's saying here, but fornication and uncleanliness and covetousness, let it not be named among you as become a saint, and neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that nor whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Boy, how important this is. You know, if you're evaluating how the year went last year, and you're looking at this year, and that makes you, look internally, reevaluate. When, ask the Holy Spirit to show you and allow you to reflect on, God, what sin is in my life that I can put off? What sin is there that I can get rid of? What is there? And whatever you do, then don't get drawn into something where you shouldn't be. He says, get rid of the fornication, uncleanness, covetous. Don't let it be named once among you. You know, every once in a while you'll go along and you'll hear something that, somebody that you might be on the national news or sometimes even local news or somebody in church. And you think about, and that happened in 2020. I could share with you, and I won't get into that, people that I know around the United States or whatever, and I think, my, I never would have guessed that would have happened to them. You let your guard down for 1 minute. You let the lust to be able to come in. You give in to that lust. The lust turns in to temptation, and then you give in and you act upon that. Satan is very powerful, and Satan will come along and present the lust. And we read it in Sunday school in 1 John that three things cause the fall of man: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. So this thing is very real. Satan is very real. Satan is very powerful. And he'd love to trip up, if he could, the very elect of God, the very chosen of God, the very ones that are saved by God's saving grace. I don't know about you, but it always hurts me when I think about that and I hear of some good Christian brother or sister that is saved, but they made an unwise choice. They got caught in a bad circumstance, and they chose to go down a different path. And you know what it is? Paul gave them warnings here. He said, be followers of God and walk in love. We need to have more love in our families, in our churches, and in our community, and for sure in this nation that we live in. We need, not now is not the time to back off in your prayer life. Now is the time to intensify your prayer life. Because this election cycle that we just went through was so divided and so dramatically different one side to the other on the issues and this and that, there needs to be somehow a coming together, a unity, a healing, and for God, and only God can do that. And to bring about some kind of harmony, unity together as Americans. And to realize there's much at stake in the world in which we live, in our country. And so Paul is simply saying here, as a believer in God, as a follower of God, is follow after Him. Walk in love. And then whatever the sin is, get rid of it. Avoid it. Stay away from it. And then he says in verse 6, notice here, I would identify this as thought number 4 on here. Let no man deceive you. Don't get tricked. Don't let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not deceived. Satan is the ultimate deceiver. Satan is the ultimate trickery and will try to lure you, to pull you, to entice you, to pull you in wherever you can find the weak moment in your life. And so he says here, let no man deceive you. Don't get caught. Don't let your guard down. And that, because these things cometh upon the wrath of God. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Be not partakers with them. You might have to make some decisions this year to make sure. Choose your friends wisely. Choose your company wisely. Choose where you go wisely. Be wise in what you do, redeeming the time and making wise choices along the way. If you're getting pulled down, if you're being heavily influenced, if you're being tempted or lured in the wrong direction, cut it loose. Break it off. And so we find here, he said, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Notice he says in verse 8, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, and walk as children of light. There is a distinction in the Bible as children of light and children of darkness, children of God and children of Satan. There's either heaven or hell, and the Bible makes it very clear, as God's people, we need to walk in the light and not get lured. And we used to be, sometimes we're in darkness. Before you got saved, we walked in darkness. Matter of fact, we learned in Sunday school today that before you get saved, your mind, Satan has blinded the minds of those. And what we need is for those that are not yet saved, for the blinders to come off so they can see, they can hear, they can understand, and they can see what the real truth of the Word of God says. And so he says, walk as children of the light. And he says, why is that so? If you'll do that, in verse 9, he says here, for the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And so it's so important. You might make a note of how important it is to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit of God and ask for the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, when you get, I don't even know if you realize this, some of you, I'm sure many of you do, if you've been a Bible student very long, but the day you get saved and the day you come to Christ, the day you open your heart to Christ and become a believer, the Bible says you're baptized into the body of Christ, Holy Spirit baptism, into the body of Christ. There's water baptism in the Bible, and there's spirit baptism in the Bible. And so you're baptized by the Holy Spirit of God at conversion into the body of Christ. But it's also important then we need to realize that on a day-to-day basis to have victorious Christian living, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that will reveal to us the weaknesses and the entrapments or the allurements or the things that pulls us in the wrong direction. It's the Holy Spirit that will kind of keep us in the right direction. And he says here, then for the fruit of that Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So what does he say here? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Boy, there's a good word. There's a good Bible word for you, fellowship. Fellowship. We also learned that recently about in Sunday school. And I don't know about you, but I'll be so glad when we can get somehow back to some kind of normalcy and the church, the body of Christ, can get back to times of fellowship and whatever it is. That is so important in the church family to be able to fellowship. But here Paul's using it. Don't have fellowship with the ways of the world. Don't have fellowship with the things of darkness. So in other words, if you're going to live godly and you're going to be a child of light and you're going to be a Christian, you're going to be a godly person, and that here, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. He said in verse 12, it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And then our text verse here that we see, that we should walk circumspectly, not as a foolish person, but as a wise person. Not as somebody that makes unwise decisions, but somebody that makes wise decisions. And by doing so, redeeming the time. Why redeeming the time? Because the days are evil all around us. And so we need to make wise and goodly. You only got one shot at this thing. You only got one chance at this in life. And you got to give it your best. You got to make good at the choices that we make along the way, redeeming the time, making it count day by day by day, and serving the Lord. He says, and be ye not what unwise, and but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is God's will for your life? Number one, if you're not saved, it's God's will that you be saved. Number two, it's God's will that you live godly and walk circumspectly and follow the Lord, and be wise in all your decisions. Now, he throws in one verse here in verse 18, which I think is kind of an interesting verse, talking about the walk of the believer and the warfare of the believer, that you and I are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but then be filled with the Spirit. So he's talking about here in the Scripture, you know, when you are baptized, you're baptized by the Holy Spirit of God into the body of Christ, Spirit baptism. But here he's talking about you and I need a filling of the Holy Spirit of God, a fresh filling day by day by day, to ask the Holy Spirit of God to fill you with His power and to lead you in the path that you should walk, and to make sure that you make wise and good choices. And so make it a pact today, if you will, to start out a new year, that you and the Holy Spirit are going to partner together and to walk through life together this year closer than you've ever been before. You need the Holy Spirit of God. And it's interesting here that he says the inner life of the Spirit-filled believer, he says here, is speaking to yourselves in what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and singing and making melody in your heart in the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think about Bunny, as Brother Ron already said, Bunny loved music. You know, oftentimes I go by her office and she's playing some gospel song, and she's got some church on in Texas and listening to this music, and she's got our music on here, and she loved music. Now I think about that, I think about as much as she loved music here, how much more and grander is she going to love music in heaven? And there is perfect, and there is an amazing thing to be able to see. And I really believe music has played an important part of the body of Christ and church work here on this earth. But music is going to play an even larger role and an important part in heaven. You know what the difference, I think, between the two? Down here, you might be tone deaf and can't sing a lick. Up there, be perfect harmony, perfect. Nobody's out of tune. We can all sing like Brother Ron or whatever, and we'll, you know, be able to get. I always, you know, I love it when all these folks sing. Brother Ron and Rosalind and Bunny and all the praise band, and that encouraged my heart. I'm not a musician. I married a musician, and that's the closest I can get to the music side of it. But when you get to heaven, it becomes different. And so when you think about heaven here, he said, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, one thing that Paul does here that I think he makes a tremendous analogy, he takes the analogy here of a Spirit-filled life of the believer, and then he illustrates that to Christ and the church and the husband and wife relationship. And notice how he does that. He says here, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Talking about in the relationship. Then he identifies the wives. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. And for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, notice this now, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So interesting here that he gives these verses here, how important, and the relationship. And you notice the submission relationship here is so important to understand biblically what this is teaching. I remember, you know, I've done, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of weddings over the years. And I remember sitting down with sometimes different people, and they'll want to write their wedding vows, and they'll want to put in. And I remember one time a lady said to me, said, I'm not putting that in my vows. I said, you're not putting what in your vows? That I have to submit to my husband. I'm not putting that in my vows. I said, well, the only thing I can say to you is, and I try to explain Ephesians 5 to her, that in submission, it's both husband and wife submitting to each other as partners in the relationship. And husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So if the husbands take the lead and be the spiritual leaders in the home and love their wives as unto the Lord, the relationship that God molded and put together here is a unique blend of coming together. And so I think so many times people look at this thing of submission and the marriage relationship and get it totally out of context. And they don't get it biblically correct. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And yes, wives are to submit to the husbands. And yes, husbands are to be the head of the home, the spiritual leader of the home. And yes, here as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to the husbands and everything. But husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. How much did Christ love the church? He loved the church so much he gave his life for the church. And so we find that husbands are to love their wives and to give, if necessary, even your own very life for your wife, and the love and the depth and the commitment you have one to another. You know, I share with you in Sunday school, you know, it's interesting. I was sharing with Sunday school that, you know, my wife and I would have been married 10 more days. It would be 49 years. It's a long time. But then I appreciate Brother Don Westfall. He comes up and he says, you know how long Evelyn and I have been married? I said, how long? I think, did you say 62? I think 62 years. Wow. And we've got people in our church that have been married in their 60s and 65. I remember Rosie and Pat, 70? They had a 70th wedding anniversary on the other side. People that know how to stick together, and that the wives submitting to the husbands, husbands submitting to the wives, and together and loving the wife and the spouse together in harmony. You know, I see today just a misread so many on what young people today oftentimes look at what the marriage is and marriage vows are. Well, if it doesn't work out, that's right. Let's just try it. Well, first of all, let's just move in together and see if it's going to work. We'll just move in together and see if we're compatible one with another. You can't find that anywhere in the Bible. You find here, it's interesting, Joseph, and we just learned that going through Christmas, Joseph was espoused to Mary binding in a marriage relationship, but had not lived together. This thing of getting together to live together to see how it's going to work out is not a biblical foundation. And once you make that commitment as a husband to a wife and a wife to a husband, it's once, and it's the vows or commitment until death do us part. Are there battles along the way? Sure there are. Are there hurdles to get over? Absolutely. Are there arguments? Probably is. Are there ups and downs, mountains and peaks and valleys? Yes, there is. But you don't quit. You don't throw in the towel. You figure out a way to work your way through this. The struggle is real. But you find here the submission also needs to be real. And husbands, you're to love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That he what? In verse 26, might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it. What? Present what? The church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. We got to keep in mind that he is the bridegroom and the church is the bride, and he wants the church of Jesus Christ to be spotless, he says here. And he says, and by doing so, in verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. And he that loveth his wife loveth himself. If you're married and you've taken no man yet, and you don't love your wife, you don't love yourself. According to the Bible is what it just says. No, for no man yet ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So when you look at the church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, you got to look at it that we are married to, we'll be married to at the marriage supper of the Lamb, to the bridegroom, Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. And it is to be pure and holy and spotless and good and right. And for this cause, the Bible says here, that shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, they two shall be one flesh, that one flesh principle. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So really the message here is about Christ and the church, but he brings in the analogy of the husband and the wife to blend that to bring that together. It is a mystery. It is a challenge. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall become one together in that one flesh principle. So important in this. And he said, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband in the relationship. I thank God there have been many in our congregation that have set the example and paved the way and understand the biblical role and the biblical principle and staying together in a marriage relationship and making that husband-wife relationship what it is in the cause of Christ and how God intended it to be. Redeeming the time. Why is that so? Because what we see, redeeming the time is so important. You got to make it count and got to be wise in your decisions because the days at hand are evil. You know, it's interesting today because there's a lot of wrong thinking out there. There's a lot of wrong thinking on moral issues and moral values and principles in our society. And, you know, I even look at in my short lifetime, I consider, you know, I'm only 69. I consider that young and short lifetime. Going back, it seems just like yesterday. I think back to when I was a teenager and growing up into the 20s or whatever. America has changed. The family structure in so many ways has changed. The values and the principles and the morals have changed. But one thing has not changed, and the Bible has not changed. The principles, God has not changed. And what God expects out of a husband has not changed. What God expects out of a wife has not changed. And what God expects out of the church of Jesus Christ has not changed. God desires a perfect bride. And by that meaning, he says here that he might what? Present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot, not having wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And by the way, my friend, the church is alive and well in the world that we live in today. It depends on, you know, what world and where you're at and how you're viewed and what your perspective of it. But God, nothing catches God by surprise. God knows exactly what he's doing. I really believe that the stage is being set. The world events are coming together in a way that God so allowed, permitted, ordained, or structured. And at his due time, the church, his glorious church, will be raptured, will be taken out. That'll be the believers in Christ. If you're a believer today in Christ, you'll be taken away. You'll be taken out and prepared and getting ready for the next thing that'll start in, the great tribulation period, a seven-year tribulation in this world in which the world has never seen. That'll be a time of revealing of the Antichrist, of the false prophet, of the beast. That'll be a time where God will deal with evil, all the evil forces upon the earth, and that'll be a time when God will reveal his wrath to the unbelieving world. Here during that great tribulation period. So do you know him today? Are you a part of the church today? By the church meaning his church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you baptized by the Holy Spirit of God? Do you know him as your personal Lord and Savior? Redeeming the time, my friend, because the days of right here, the days are evil. And so we realize today, you know, is it going to get any better? I don't know about you, but there can be blessings along the way. There can be things that will happen along the way. But I see a progression more towards evil generation, decade by decade by decade, as we move along. So if the Lord tarries his coming, I think the days are going to become more evil, according to the Bible, according to Scripture. So do you know him? And in that, we are to be children of the light, living for him, and making sure that we walk circumspectly and redeem the time while we have the time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love you. May we today evaluate our own lives and redeem the time. By that meaning, make wise choices. Make godly choices. Walking circumspectly. May we evaluate the time as we enter into 2021. Perhaps time to reevaluate what we do and why we do what we do and how we do that. And to realize the importance of every minute that you give to us is a blessing from on high. Every day that you give us the breath of life, God, we thank you for that. Every week that goes by, the blessings that you give. We realize that one day our last breath will be taken here upon the earth. So may we redeem our time and choose it wisely, realizing that all around us is wickedness and this evil, corrupt world that we live in. What an opportunity to uplift the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as children of light, to let Jesus Christ and His light reign in our life and to let others see Him in us, the hope of glory. So Father, speak to hearts today. If there's one here that's not saved, that they'd open their heart and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. God, help each one of us today to walk circumspectly and to redeem the time and to make every minute count. Make wise choices this year. So Father, today it's our prayer, if there's one here that's not saved, they'd open their heart right now, right this moment, and trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed, my friend, if you came in today and you're not a Christian, you're not a believer, you're not sure if you died today, if you took your last breath, you'd be on your way to heaven, you can know that right now, this very moment, today. If you just open your heart and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. And I'd be glad to help you and walk you through that if you just recognize that you're a sinner and that you cannot save yourself and you're going to call upon the Lord today. And just pray this prayer between you and God, not between you and me, between you and God. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart, to be born again, to be saved. I recognize that I am a sinner and that I cannot save myself. So God, I trust in You. And I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart, God, that You have raised Him from the dead. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for my eternal salvation today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together, if you will, today, my friend. And we're going to give a verse of invitation. Again, the altar is open. If you want to come to pray, you're welcome to come to pray. It'd be a good opportunity to start out a new year and just praying and seeking the Lord and asking for His wisdom and to redeem the time and make wise choices as you start the journey into 2021, as Brother Ron leads us today.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry.
God's people said, amen. Go ahead and be seated just for a moment, and we'll just share a couple things with you and have prayer and let you go today. You know, it's interesting. This thing on redeeming the time is so important. If you've never done this, I'd encourage you to do it. Do a time study on yourself. I've done it in business. I've done it in ministry. I've done it as a pastor. I do it periodically in that. It's an eye-opening thing to take and write down your time and what you do through the course of a day, and do you use your time wisely for the Lord, or could you better spend it for the Lord Jesus Christ? And so pray for these things that are going on. Tonight service is 6 o'clock, and that. So this week, one thing I do need to announce is Bread Breakers on Tuesday at 9:15. I understand that Earl and Phyllis Wheel, Earl heads up Bread Breakers at his home. I'm sure they're not doing bread breakers this week, although it's in the bulletin. I understand that Brother Earl and Phyllis have the coronavirus. They've tested positive for that. Not only that, Art and Joanne Anderson have tested positive for that, so I'd encourage you to pray for them. Pray for Paul Tacey. He's way past his now quarantine time, but Paul's had a hard time struggling, getting on his feet with this coming out of the coronavirus and that. And so pray for these dear folks. Good to see Neil Hoffman in church today. Pray for Luella and pray for Zim. And Zim's still at the hospital. He's still at the hospital, Children's Hospital. So we're praying for Zim and keep all these dear folks, anyway, our shut-ins and those in the ministry. You be safe and be careful traveling out there. And let's have a prayer and we'll let you go. Heavenly Father, God, we love you today. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you that we can understand the Bible and that you've given to us, God, that we need to redeem the our time that we have, because the days really are evil at hand. We live in an evil and corrupt world, influenced by the world, the devil, and the flesh. And so, God, help us to be wise in what we do. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, those traveling today, keep them safe. We pray for Zim down at Children's Hospital. God, you just encourage him and just give the doctors wisdom to know how to best treat him and help him. Be with the family, Peter and Ada, as they go through this challenging time with him, and just raise him up and give him strength and renewed strength, and God, that he'll be able to get home soon. Be with Luella there in the home, and God, be with those in our church family that are struggling with this coronavirus. God, you'll give them strength and healing. Keep us your hand of safety and protection about them, and that you'll raise them up. God, thank you for being our God and our prayer hearing and prayer answering God. We love you. We look forward to 2021 to see what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Have a great week. Good to see you. Be safe out there.